been looking at miracles a little bit, as Mike had just said, and we want to carry on with that a little bit. One of the things that I get the privilege of doing in the years that I have in ministry is I get to meet some amazing people. And yesterday I had the privilege of meeting, it was close to 100 new people, and really excited about that in the place I was at and the people I was involved with. And I trust that many of you have the opportunity to meet new people as well. But I love new people coming into the church all the time. Bear with me, please, if I have trouble with your names. I'm working on names. It's something that's important to me, but I'm working on that a little bit. One of the times, probably many years ago now, my wife and I were in our first church, and I've talked with some of the guys in the church about this just because he was such an amazing person. I had the privilege of meeting an older man who was a part of the church there, and his name was Goldie Brown. Goldie was actually a World War I veteran, and that says a lot and maybe says a little bit about how long ago it was, but he was actually 17 towards the end of the war and had signed up, gotten his parents' permission and signed up and had gone into active combat duty at the end of the war. And so Goldie had a lot of really wonderful stories. I don't know where the name Goldie came up for a man, and I never asked. He was just really a neat older guy, and the privilege that I had of meeting him. I can remember, as I closed my eyes, I can remember seeing pictures of Goldie. There was a river called the Osabo River, and he actually loved to fish. He had a spot on the river where he would fish, and fishing back in Michigan is quite different than it is here. And he would fish with a bobber that was this big around, no joke. And he would wing it out there or have somebody cast it for him. And I remember I'd see Goldie at his fishing spot, and I'd stop my truck and get out and talk to him. And Goldie was 98 years old when he was fishing in this spot. He'd fished that spot most of his life, and he had this bobber floating out there with a minnow this long on it, and he would sit there in his lawn chair in the middle of the summer with a snowmobile suit on because he was cold, and he would have a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, and that was his lunch for the day. Can you believe that? And so Goldie would be sitting there, and I would stop to see him, and he'd sit in his lawn chair, and he wasn't real fast moving. But I'd talk to Goldie, and he would try to turn around in the chair to talk to me, and he would turn, and I'd be standing here, and I'd see that bobber, this big bobber like this, just go boom, 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 gone. And I would go, "Goldie, your line, your line." And he would, "What?" And he'd turn around to look, and the bobber would bob back up, and he'd go, "Well, I guess I missed him." "Ah!" And he would start to reel the line. "Give me the line." I'll reel it in for him and put another minnow on there and throw it back out for him. He was an amazing person. He actually was the only guy I've ever met in my life who could catch a skunk alive and not get sprayed. He could talk to these skunks and woo them into submission, and he would grab them by the scruff of the neck and hold their tail down low, and they wouldn't spray. And then he would talk to him and let him go slow. He had a back area of his house, and he just lived in a tar paper shack, literally a tar paper shack. And he had this back place to his house where he put his firewood in, and he'd put corn out there, and then all of the wild turkeys would walk in to get the corn, and he would shut the door. And when I would come by to see him, he'd say, "You want to take a turkey home with you, Pastor?" And he'd open the door, and here's these live turkeys all in there wondering what's going on. He'd open the door and let them out. Amazing, amazing guy. He ended up with bone cancer, and the family wanted to get him to the doctor for an appointment, and he was this old-timer. I remember going inside his house, and he had one of those couches that you have the homemade quilt on, and you sit down, and you sink down in the couch, and you're lost. And he had these deer heads. And I used to take my boys there, and they were fascinated with Goldie's house. And he had these deer mounts on the wall with the peeled nose because they were so old and the hair all off of the mount. But so his family called me up and said, we're trying to get him to the doctor for a doctor's appointment for his bone cancer, 98 years old. And we need to get him in to have a shower. And he wore those thin, what were they, long johns? And he wore this with the flap in the back. And so I went over there with his son-in-law, Dan, and we got, and Dan turned the shower on and said, Dad, you got to get into the shower. And so I went over in there and talked to Goldie and said, you know, you got to get this done, Goldie. And so we stripped him down, and Dan, it had been a while since he'd changed his long johns or changed any of that. So he said, just soak him off of him in the shower. So he put Goldie over by the shower, and Goldie was, I don't want to go. And he put him over by the shower, and Dan just kind of moved him into the shower. And what Dan hadn't remembered is he never checked the temperature on the shower. And so the shower was ice cold. Ice cold. And when he moved Goldie into the shower, Goldie was like, I'm really slow moving and real not getting along very well, not feeling well. And he went in the shower and he was like, wow, that's cold. And he just stood there under the water. Dan got laughing so hard. I got laughing so hard. And Goldie just stood there in the ice cold shower. And it was just an unbelievable thing. But anyways, and so, like I said, I get the opportunity to be able to talk to you guys a little bit and immortalize some of the people that I've met in messages like this. Goldie's goal in life was to live to be 100 years old. And so we were praying for Goldie for a healing from God. And he died at 99 and a half years old. And was an amazing, amazing person, and I just have the privilege. They put, actually, where he fished after he died, the whole community got together, and they put a stone with a brass plaque that says right at that very spot, this is where Goldie Brown spent his life fishing. And what an awesome thing for to pay tribute to such an honorable man who had served his country and served his community for so many years. He never got his healing, and at that point, I struggled a little bit with this whole thing about faith healing and miracle healing, and then I asked myself, he never got his healing, or did he? We've been talking about miracles. We started last week at looking at practical miracles, simple things that we can see God moving in our lives with the hope that we would be able to raise our hand and say, yes, I need a miracle. And it certainly isn't to minimize miracles, but I'm not so sure we really can explain miracles. We attempted to a little bit with definitions last week. In the crisis of a life event, that the unexpected result might take place in the place of the expected result. Think about that a little bit. In any crisis of life, that some unexpected event might take place to, could we say, fix what would have been the expected results. I loved what the little girls told us last week, something we can't do, but Jesus can, a miracle. We looked at the life of Peter, who received his miracle, where he was once cowardly and denying Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, he boldly speaks out for Jesus and the life work of Jesus, a miracle in the life of Peter. Well, in the book of Acts, when we read further into the life of Peter, we find that there was another miracle that God performed through Peter, and I would like to take a look at that this morning a little bit, because it has to do with the miracle of healing. It comes from Acts chapter 3, and if you have a Bible and you would like to follow along, you're welcome to. If not, we have some Bibles right here, and if you raise your hand, Rich, who is always so faithful to help, would be kind enough to just grab a Bible for you. It's Acts chapter 3, and it comes with verses 1 and following, the book of Acts. This is after Jesus had ascended into heaven, after Jesus had resurrected from the dead. Then he ascended into heaven, and then from there, the apostles had received the Holy Spirit, and so now they're launching out in that promised ministry that Jesus had promised those who are disciples of Jesus, that they would do great things through the power of Jesus. And so we want to look at this a little bit. Acts chapter 3 and the miracle of Peter and the healing of the lame man. Chapter 3, verse 1, I'll read, you follow. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. They did that, by the way, so that people in need would receive alms, because part of the Jewish religion was that those who had would give, and part of that would benefit everyone. And there's all kinds of writings in the Levitical law about saving for gleaning of fields and giving alms to the poor. And so these friends or family members or whoever had carried this person to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. As we look at this passage of Scripture, David has asked that we might pray for Jude, that is David's wife Debbie, her niece's baby, who has had terrible problems since his birth and has had terrible seizures. They're doing a surgery, actually, this week to remove a part of Jude's brain to try to correct the seizures that he's facing. And so I just think it would be really appropriate, especially after reading this Acts chapter 3 passage, to pray for little Jude, an extension of our church. So let's pray. Father, we do believe that you touch people and that you do miraculous things in their lives here on earth. Some of those miracles, Lord, can carry over into a transformation that lasts through eternity. God, right now we think of this baby, this little one, who has struggled for so long with difficulties, with vision, with seizures, with physical ailments that have compounded into more and more. And we're asking, God, that through the miracle, the hand of the wisdom and the skill and the talent that you enable people to have, that you might do an amazing thing and that you might heal this little body from the difficulties that his physical body has. And then, God, we're asking that you might do a miracle on behalf of Jude, because you call for us to ask, and whether or not that occurs is up to you. But we're to be faithful to trust you, that you have our best interest at heart. And we pray for little Jude that you might do just that. And we'll trust you for the outcome. In Jesus' name, amen. The miracle of healing. Well, we could write a book on this, and I'm sure many of you have been familiar with some of the books that are out there called The Miracle of Healing, and there are all kinds of 10 Steps to a Miracle and all kinds of things out there that help us with that. But I really don't know as if we can really define this well. We could talk on and on about it, But the reality is, most of us just can't do anything other than walk away saying it is a miracle. Let me just say in the beginning here that as we look at this and look at what took place and Peter's involvement with the miracle, that Peter was just a person. He was like you or I. He was a person filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, but he was a normal, regular, everyday person. He wasn't Jesus. He was a person. And yet he was empowered with the power of God to impact other people's lives. And so with that, I'd like to just clarify some things by making some points here. And the first point I have is that only God heals. I think it's very important for us in the days of understanding people that want to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm a healer, the power goes through me, that we have to understand that it's only God that heals, because only God is in control. There's no formula for a miraculous healing. It's not through the power of a person, especially, that they are able to do anything great. It has little to do with a healed person's spiritual condition when we look at Scripture and see the healings that take place. I find that absolutely fascinating. So often, the person prior to the healing was not necessarily considered a very spiritual person. Sometimes God heals, and sometimes God does not heal when a person needs a miraculous healing. God is the creator of the universe, and he creates all things, including the understanding of why or how or what's necessary concerning a healing. God is the creator of the systems of the universe. God is the creator of the natural laws and the natural order of things. God is the creator of the rules, as well as those incidences that take place occasionally where the rules are broken. God is in charge, not people. And it's really important that we understand that when it comes to looking at any miracle of healing. I was a carpenter for 10 years before I went into studying for the ministry, and among carpenters, I've done some amazing things, like split my head open and have to have it stapled back together, like slice my leg with a utility knife and have to have it stitched up, like take a skill saw and run it across my thumb and cut my thumb off. I happened to be in Indiana at the time, and Dr. Edwards, who happened to be the bone surgeon for the Indy 500 race, came into the hospital, saw my thumb, and said, I think I can fix that. I lay in a week at a bedside of another guy who had fallen through a roof. Actually, the roof had broken through. He was a roofer, and he fell 30 feet onto concrete on his feet. He shattered his feet, his ankles, and he tore his kidneys loose. He lay in the bed next to me while I'm feeling sorry for myself about my dumb thumb. My thumb was wrapped up, and they said, we will have this wrapped up, dump antibiotics into you, and then at the end of a week, we'll take the wrappings off and we'll amputate whatever is necessary for you to be able to have a stub of a thumb. Dr. Edwards came in, unwrapped my thumb, looked at it, and I had a bunch of people praying for my thumb, and he looked at it and said, like Dr. Frankenstein, it's alive! And I said, thank you so much for all that you did for the reconstruction of my thumb and the healing of my thumb. And I was amazed at Dr. Edwards' answer. He looked at me, knowing I was a ministerial student, looked at me and said, Jim, you know I don't heal. And then he walked away. God is God, and he is the one who heals. And I find it amazing that occasionally we'll know of a doctor who recognizes that. Our son happens to be a radiologist, a radiology technician, and he goes into surgeries often with doctors. And I ask him about this surgeon thing that goes on in the surgical room, and he mentioned to me, he said, Dad, there really are doctors that think they are God. And they don't really think that, do they? Yes, they do. In fact, they were in a surgery at one time, And Joshua was in the surgery room, and the doctor was in a crisis moment, and he had his hands full, and he told Joshua, "Give me your hand." And Joshua held out his hand, and he took his hand and shoved it into the cavity of the body cavity of a person who was in crisis. And he said, "Put your finger right there on that spot." And Joshua did, and decided at that moment he was never going into another surgery room. The doctor got the situation figured out, got it corrected, stepped back and said, "I am God," said that right in the surgery room. I think it's important that we understand it's only God that heals. What is healing anyways? When you really think about it, it's a temporary relief from a current reality. What we often forget is that we have the gospel picture in its entirety. Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years. The book of Acts covered over 50 years. And yet we have it in its entirety, so we think all of these healings happened one after another in the same week. That's not the case. Our pastor in Oak Park, Illinois, said, "I'm not much for physical healings, and I do believe God occasionally does that, but I'm not much for it. But Jim, we've got a lady in our community who's had an absolute radical transformation in her life physically. She had something like polio, and her legs had been crippled for many years. They actually had atrophied to the point that she was not able to walk or stand. She lay in bed. The church was praying. She was in bed at home, and something happened. A warm feeling came over her body. She saw her legs literally straighten." All kinds of documentation. Literally straighten. Her muscles became whole and full. And she came to the church and talked to us about what God had done in her life. It is God who heals, not a person. And I think that's the first criteria in understanding anything that we want done in a physical healing. But there's good news involved in this from the passage that we see in Acts chapter 3. And that comes from my second point. I can be a part of God's work. It's God who heals, but I can be a part of God's work. Verse 11, look at verse 11. "While the beggar held on to Peter and John." Can you imagine God using you in the life of another person? What's the purpose of a miraculous healing? Is it to send someone on their way continuing their life as before? It's always to point to the person of Jesus, and Peter makes that very clear in verses 12 and verse 16. "When Peter saw this," that the people were amazed at this guy who had been absolutely transformed in his physical condition, "he said to them, 'Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if our own power or godliness, by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk? Didn't have anything to do with us.' And Peter was the one that said, 'Rise up and walk.' And then in verse 16, 'By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see.'" Be very careful here. Whose faith? The lame man had been at the temple gate every day for many, many years. It was Peter and John's faith, not the lame man. See, it's not conditional upon the spiritual condition of the person wanting the healing. So your participation is somehow impacts the life of someone who needs a miracle. Can that be possible? Yes, it can. Your faith can influence the lives of other people. In fact, we just were at George Fox Serve Day this last Wednesday, Mike and I. And over at George Fox, they all came out with these T-shirts that say hands and feet. The rest of the body didn't matter, just hands and feet. Actually, I'm joking. Hands and feet were the theme that they would be the hands and the feet of Jesus in this serve day. Now, a lot of people just blow that serve day off and don't pay real lot of attention to it. But I was amazed to see some of the young people that really took this seriously, and they wanted to be the hands of Jesus and the feet of Jesus as they all go out into the community and serve others through the process. I can be a part of God's work. And I'm not trying to minimize miraculous healing here at all. In fact, my brother-in-law Chris, and this is probably the only good illustration I'll ever use of Chris, right after he came to Christ, after Chris got saved, he was visiting a guy who was having problems in the hospital. And Chris felt rather filled with faith after he had just surrendered his life to the Lord. And so he walked up to the guy in the hospital and said, "Do you believe God can touch you?" And the guy laying in the hospital said, "Yes, I could." And he was having some real difficulties. He says, "Yes, I think he can." And he says, "Well, I'd like to pray for you, and we're going to pray that God will touch you." And so Chris prayed with the guy, and the guy was feeling, wow, that's really made me feel better, and I feel like maybe something's happening where I'm getting better. And so he said, "Would you pray for my roommate here? He's got a problem." And so he got up out of the bed, wheeling his little IV cart and around the curtain to the other side. And Chris said, "Well, we're both going to pray for you." And this guy was in really rough shape. So they both laid hands on this guy and started praying for him. Now, these aren't pastors or anybody super faithful. And they lay hands on this guy, and the guy's like, "Wow, I feel so much better." He says, "I got a guy who I know down the hall two doors. Could we go pray for him?" And so that guy got out of bed, and the two of them are wheeling their IV bottles down the hall with their robes on, and my brother-in-law's going, "This is something's going on here." And so he went into the room praying for the other guy, and they prayed for that guy, and that guy got feeling better, and he got out of bed, and pretty soon that whole floor was prayed for, and people's lives were changed. When I lay in bed feeling sorry for myself over my dumb thumb, my dear friend Charles Thorne came praying for me. Just a person in the church. And he said, "Jim, we're going to pray for a healing." And he was a pretty cool guy. His long hair and beard and tattoos, he came from a rough life, but he believed in the power of God. He prayed for my thumb, and the people next to me and my roommate, who had just fallen through the roof with his crushed ankles, said, "Who is that pastor?" I said, "He's not a pastor. He's just a friend of mine." He said, "Would you guys pray for me?" And so we prayed for him. And he committed his life to Christ. So what's the criteria for a miracle? For the person who is being healed? You got that figured out? I don't. Who knows? If you did, you could write a book on it, just like so many others. But for me, for us personally, this is the most important point. All I have to do is care. That's what Jesus is asking from me. Verse 6, money? We don't have, look at us. We're in rags. We don't have any money. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Did they walk by the guy like so many others and say, "Eh, no, another one of those beggars"? We were just driving through Salem, and I don't know, around where the highway comes down, and there's this curve. Some of you that are from the area know. And there's this area where all the beggar people are. Guy's holding up a sign yesterday, says, "My Rolls Royce needs repairs." Wow. I mean, I've seen the "Why lie? I need a beer," you know, of all the things that you can do. We can walk by those people and say, "I don't really care." That's not what Peter and John did. Did they yell at the man or laugh at the man or chastise the man? No. You know what they did for him? They cared. They simply cared. I do not think Peter knew that this guy was going to rise up and walk. I think he was probably as surprised as the guy. But he simply cared, and he trusted by faith that something could happen for this person in need. He said, "Look at me." Peter connected with the guy. So here's my question for you. Do you need a miracle? Maybe you're here this morning and you need a physical healing and you just need somebody to care for you. Are you willing to ask? Like this lame man, you might get more than you bargained for. Then are you willing to dedicate your life, the rest of your life, telling others what Jesus has done in your life? Because that's the reason for a physical healing, is to proclaim Jesus. In verse 12, Peter talking about Jesus, he in chapter 4 of verse 12, Jesus says, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Speaking about Jesus. Are you willing to give of yourself for another? Are you willing to care? Maybe God wants you to intercede for someone who needs a physical healing. Throughout the rest of the book of Acts, we see healings that are for physical problems, for mental problems, for emotional problems, for spiritual needs. We see that all through the book of Acts in the establishment of the church. Did you ever consider that God is waiting simply for you to care for someone else? Mike's going to come and close, and he's going to lead us in a word of prayer. We have a next step section in there, in your connector. And in that section, that's for you to take home. You tear that off. As God speaks to your heart about your involvement in the physical healing of someone else, think about what Peter did and about his part in simply caring for someone else.
Amen. Well, as you reflect over this last song, as we sing this, as Pastor Jim said, just write down a person that you wanna pray for, that you know needs a miracle. You know, Jesus works through His people, and so just take this opportunity to search your hearts and see if maybe God's put somebody before you that you need to pray for. And also, just thinking at the end of worship, if you know, we did this last week, and we had you write down things about a miracle that you might need. If you wrote something down and God moved in that, we want to hear about that. Drop that, write it down, and drop it in the box on the way out, and we'll praise God with you for that. As morning dawns and evening fades, You inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch Your heart and glorify Your name. 'Cause Your name is a strong and mighty tower, and Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but Your name. And Jesus, in Your name we pray, Come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. 'Cause your name is a strong and mighty tower, and your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, and let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. Oh, nothing has the power to save. Oh, no, nothing has the power to save but your name. But your name. God, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, your word, you told us to, if we have faith but we don't have love, that we're just a resounding cymbal. And God, as Pastor Jim told us this morning, we've got to have that care. We've got to have a care for people and for those around us that you put in contact with us. Lord, they're not by accident that we see them every day. And God, we just ask that you would give us your heart for them. And God, you would do great things in their lives so that your name would be glorified as they come and you heal them, God. And we just thank you for all that you're doing here. And we ask that you would bless this congregation as we dismiss. And God, let us be remembering what we've heard this morning as we go about our daily lives this week. And Lord, we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed. The fruit of the Spirit, it is love. So come unite us in your love. The fruit of the Spirit, it is joy. A joy that goes beyond all circumstance. The fruit of the Spirit, it is peace. In a world so tumultuous, the fruit of the Spirit, it is patience. So we will wait, we'll wait on you. Come, Holy Spirit, we wanna know your presence. Oh, create in me the fruit I long to see. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to be more like Jesus. Oh, come dine with me and come and change me. And come and change me against such things. And against such things there is no law. So come create them in my heart. And against such things there is no law. So come create them in my heart. Come, Holy Spirit, we wanna know your presence. Oh, create in me the fruit I long to see. Come, Holy Spirit, help me to be more like Jesus. Oh, come dine with me and come and change me. Come dine with me and come and change me.